Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Imri, and welcome back to the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you so much for subscribing, sharing the podcast with a friend, and tweeting me about it. I love it so much. And thank you to Abby Steer, who included me in her Podcast of the Week feature on FromTheStreets.com. You are tuning into the design special Meet the Cartoonist, and this is part two with the insanely talented comic artist Leslie Hung. Leslie is the co-creator of Snot Girl with Brian Lee O'Malley, who is also the creator of the infamous Scott Pilgrim comic series. Snot Girl is published by Image Comics, and it is so beautifully designed, like I cannot stress that enough. And it follows the fictional character Lottie Person, who is an allergy-ridden social media influencer with a real dark side. Leslie is the co-host of the Salt and Honey podcast with fellow cartoonist Sloane Leong. Her sketches and drawings have amassed 162,000 followers on Instagram, so it's safe to say she knows what she is talking about. So I have to apologize about this episode in advance. The audio file with my voice got corrupted and we lost all of my audio. So unfortunately, this episode doesn't have the same conversational feel as the rest. I truly believe it's better to be consistent, so I've made it work. Plus, Leslie had so much great advice and wisdom to share for budding cartoonists, animation, everyone in between, that I just really could not. It would be just such a disservice to you guys to not include it. So I've narrated all of the best bits. The episode is now broken down into 10 parts where you will learn how you can make money from your drawings, how to resolve a conflict, and how to best communicate in your collaborations, how to get your comics and drawings published. Just so much good stuff is packed inside this episode. I know it's not the same, but I hope you enjoy it either way. So, as usual, I asked Leslie who she wanted to become before she became who she is today and why. And what actually came out of this conversation was her not knowing quite what she wanted to do after leaving art school and feeling this immense pressure to conform to sometimes the Disney Pixar look and feel in her art. And that really started to kind of paralyze her in moving forward. So we get to talking about kind of the situation surrounding that.
Well, I went to art school for college, which so I was about 18 and I had always wanted to be an artist. And I think at that point I wanted to do like some sci-fi Star Wars type matte paintings, even though that's totally not what I'm about. But I think at the time I just thought it was like so cool. Like I just thought it was something to aspire to. But pretty quickly I kind of realized that that wasn't my thing. And it took me quite a while. Like I feel like I spent my entire, college experience just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And by the time I graduated, I still didn't know. And I feel like my portfolio and just like my work and my mental state was very reflective of that. Like I was very confused. And I think I didn't want to limit myself. Like I felt like if I had chose something and really focused on that, then I might be like missing out on other opportunities that could be cool as well. And I feel like that was just kind of like my whole mentality for years and years. And it really didn't help at all. Like I felt totally just, I feel like paralyzed is maybe like a little bit too dramatic, but I definitely felt like I couldn't move forward in a lot of ways. And I just felt uncomfortable with my work and what I wanted to do. And at the time I was studying to do like visual development for animation. So it was just kind of like a lot of people just trying to get that like Disney look, that Pixar look, and get scouted for those studios. And I feel like I think I wanted that as well. But then, especially now that I'm older, I can really see that working that in that kind of environment just wasn't for me, and it probably wouldn't be for me even now.
Here, Leslie lists some of the best questions to ask yourself and kind of thinking about your goals surrounding your art and what you want your future to look like.
I just think that things end up changing, like as you work more and as you think more about like just what do you want out of what you're creating. I think that's such an important question to ask, and really it's kind of a hard question to ask yourself, especially like if you're like in your early 20s and your late teens. Like it's such a scary like step to take, but I think it's just like so important. And whenever people ask me about like what they should do, I just feel like I don't have the answers for you, but I feel like asking yourself questions and being very honest and just like realistic about what you want to do in life and like what you actually like and what your goals are is going to propel you much further than like just looking at what other people are doing or taking classes. Like I feel like those are supplementary, and I definitely want to try and draw and write my own graphic novel. Like these are just kinds of things that have been bouncing around in my head for a bit. I feel like my approach to creating is very simplistic, and I don't really have super lofty goals. I feel I just kind of want to be able to keep on drawing and writing and making things and making stories and like somehow reaching people.
So here we talk about Leslie leaving art school and struggling to find a job, and she tells this amazing story of meeting this woman who owns a mannequin studio and essentially getting her first gig and not loving it. And it basically helped her decide what she wanted to do and where she wanted to take her art. So this is really about how you can have a job that you don't like, and it basically reinvigorates your passions.
Yeah, the mannequins was weird. It's a strange story, actually. I was like, after I graduated from college, I had like a few, like, kind of like, I don't know, I had trouble finding a job. Like it was just like mix of bad interviews or like wrong portfolio, stuff like that. It's in the past now, but I was like at the post office mailing a print that someone had bought online, and I didn't have an envelope, so I was buying an envelope there. And this woman behind me talks to me, and she's just talking to me about my art and like asking me about like going to art school, which I thought was very weird, but I was just kind of like, whatever, like, you know, just like a normal post office chat or whatever. And she was like, oh, like I actually own a mannequin company with my husband, and if you wanted to work there, we could like test you. And it turns out that my immediate supervisor, not the woman that I met at the post office, was also an alumni of my art college. So we got along well. The whole mannequin thing was very strange, and I didn't really like working there. I was there for probably 2 years, and working there really kind of galvanized me into like wanting to do my own thing and make comics, because it was just something I had never even thought I could do before. I had read tons of like manga as a child, and I'd had aspired to doing that, but then once I actually started doing it, like especially when I was probably around 11, I tried to draw my own comics, and it was just so difficult. And then I was kind of like, well, I can just get good at drawing and like not think about this anymore. Like it was kind of something I never thought about after that. As a child, I think I was very impatient. Like I didn't want to think about like the story, so it'd just be like drawing panel to panel, basically. And I think I was just very like, I totally didn't want to think too hard, and I was really focused on like the tiny things, like the drawings themselves, rather than comics as like a medium and comics as like a way to tell a story, which is like the thought I subscribe to now, and I think that I think most people that make comics do anyway, just because rather than looking at panels as like as their own illustrations, they're just part of a bigger thing. And it's just something I fundamentally didn't understand as a child. So it was just me being impatient and me just wanting to get like draw super cool things like as soon as possible. So it was just something that I dismissed without really exploring more, even though I was always interested in comics. But anyway, like the whole mannequin thing was just kind of part of like why I felt so like ready to do something else. And it's kind of, that was kind of when I started to go to comics shows more and trying to make my own minis and doing my own like little art books or booklet type things.
So in this section, we talk about when Leslie met Brian Lee O'Malley, the legend behind the Scott Pilgrim comic series, which got turned into a film. And we also talk about briefly the start of Snot Girl and how Brian was integral to her really leaving her job and getting this comic started and it becoming this massive like runaway success.
Going to comic shows and talking to other creators was really what got me started. And that's how I met Brian. I met Brian through our letterer Mari. And ever since then, like he was the one that encouraged me to leave my mannequin job. And he was like, let's make this comic, like let's make Snot Girl. That's basically how it started. He was always super encouraging of like my art after we met. This is probably 3 or 4 years ago, I think. And he was just like, it was just something that neither of us had done. And it's obviously had its ups and downs. But for the most part, I feel like it's a good project and it's something that we both believe in. So I feel like that's kind of like the backbone to the whole thing. We kind of came up with the story together because we both have allergies and I don't know why. I don't really recall like what exactly prompted it, but we like sometimes like if you're talking with your friends, you're just like riffing on things and like kind of like weird ideas that you guys have. And it was born from that. So it's like we kind of created this character together and it would just be like I would be drawing her and then he's like, oh, like maybe give her bangs, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll like add a bunch of other things as well. So that's kind of how Lottie was created and her friends as well. Like the whole universe is kind of based off of a bunch of different conversations we had with each other and like kind of our own personalities injected into that as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
At San Diego Comic-Con, Leslie was talking about her style and developing her style. And something that came up and really kind of made me focus and really want to get to know her more is that she said that she kept drawing the same thing over and over again as a teenager, and she essentially got better over time. So we talk about whether she still believes that that's the right thing to do and what good feels like and what good looks like to her when it comes to her drawings.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I feel like for some reason, drawing, there's always been a driving force behind me for drawing, whether people thought I was good or not. Like ever since as long as I can remember, I've been drawing and like saying that I want to be an artist. And I don't even know if I understood what that meant. It was just kind of like, like as a child, I was just like, I really like drawing and I really want to do this like forever. And I don't really know why. It's just kind of, that's just how it's been. And it's always been that way. And when people ask me if there's anything else that I would want to do, I don't have an answer just because I'm already doing what I want to do. And I don't know if it's cool. It's just kind of like, I haven't had the patience to focus on other things as well as I do with drawing. And I'm definitely not the best artist. I just really like it. And I really, and they're like, even when I'm having like a hard time, it's, I will still like work through it. And that's, I can't say that about a lot of other things that I've kind of just given up just because I'll just be like, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. And like with drawing, it's always kind of like, no, I can do it. I can like figure it out or something. And that's, I feel like for, that's kind of like, that's kind of been how it's, how it has always been for me.
So Leslie is a published comic book artist, and we talk about the publishing process and what advice she has for anyone of you guys who are aspiring to have your drawings published as comics, or if that's your preferred medium. We talk about what you need to do to get published and finding the right studio or publisher, should I say, to get your work out there. So whether you're looking at Image Comics like she did, or you want to go to DC or Marvel, you need to understand that your story has to make sense for that publisher. So she talks a little bit about that.
There are definitely ways in. It's just, it is so much easier when you know someone, which is like, that's almost every job, especially in the creative field, is that you have to know someone or meet someone that's nice enough to talk to you, especially if you don't know anyone. And it's like kind of a daunting thing, but it's also like really important. I think that especially if you kind of have to, especially with monthly comics, you kind of have to aim where you want to get published if you want to do monthly comics, because there are certain publishers that just won't be the right fit. And Image kind of works for a lot of different types of monthly comics because they publish a wide range of different books every month. And you can kind of tell just from what books are currently out. So like if you have a comic like Snot Girl, it wouldn't work at a publisher like DC or Marvel just because that's not what they do, you know? If you really want to get into monthly comics, then that's kind of like your starting point, is trying to figure out, not so much like trying to force your story to make sense with a publisher, but to find a publisher that makes sense with your story.
So as you know, Leslie collaborates with Brian Lee O'Malley and various other artists, letterers, colorists to get Snot Girl off the ground. So when you're collaborating with other creatives, it's so important that you have your legals right and tight. So we talk a little bit about your paperwork. We also talk about the benefits of collaboration and communication, but most importantly, how to resolve a conflict, because when your legals aren't right, a conflict can be completely escalated. Now, this wasn't Leslie's personal experience, but we do talk about why it's so important to have these uncomfortable conversations.
Definitely sort out the legal stuff ahead of time. I think I haven't really worked very closely with people that I am not already friends with. So I think it's just kind of a matter of being open to knowing people, but also like being aware and like being and protecting yourself, as you said. I think you just have to get everything out, have the uncomfortable conversations early on, just so that you're all on the same page. Just because I feel like in any sort of collaboration, if there's any sorts of misunderstanding, then it can go south like very, very quickly. So I feel like if you're kind of shy or more introverted, it's important to be able to talk about that. And it's just, don't think about it so much as like a social thing, but rather just like a business thing. And I feel like as long as you do that, it'll be okay. It's just like a matter of trying to cover yourself before someone can screw you over. And I don't think we've had any conflicts. Exactly. Like I feel like if we ever have any disagreements, then we kind of just like, there's like some level of compromise that's really important in collaboration, but also there's a lot of, you do have to, like, I feel like collaborating with someone else kind of gives you a different perspective on your work, because there's someone else like looking at it all the time, and it's like, it's reflective of them as well. So there's like a bit more investment on their half than there is with something like, if you're working with an editor who is just going to give you like valuable input, but not be invested. And that's kind of like, that's the good part of having an editor. But yeah, I think just being like clear about what you want and what you like, the role you want to have in a collaboration is so important, because just working with people who you can communicate with, whether you guys are disagreeing sometimes, is very important, because you can get over the disagreement, but if someone's just never talking to you, then you'll never be able to talk about it or address it.
So to wrap up the episode, we finally begin to talk about the money. So if you are listening and you are into drawing, you want to make money from your art, this is a section that you really need to get your pens out and begin scribbling away, because she talks super fast and it goes really quickly. So here's all the ways you can make money from your art.
It's like, okay. I definitely, I'm not a millionaire. So I go to shows and like, I make like a decent amount at comics conventions and shows if I do table there. I haven't been doing that as much lately, and I'll sell like originals, and it's basically like I'll do all those three things, and that's kind of like my income for the year. And if I end up doing more things, like if I do merchandise or if I do prints, then that kind of like factors in as well, and it can add up. And I think that you can be more proactive about it, especially if you want to just do like art as a living. You can, there's tons of people that have their own like online stores, and I think that can do very well. But it's just like, for me, it's just, that's like another thing to think about, another like thing to like ship things out and stuff like that. So I just, I haven't had the motivation or the time to do that anymore. But it's definitely like an option.
I hope you are able to take loads of notes on how to take your drawing to the next level. Again, apologies for the audio and the change in style. I hope it didn't take away from the actions and insights too much. To find out more about Leslie, visit milkmanor.tumblr.com, or you can follow her on Instagram at dairyfree, like dairy-free chocolate or something. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Acast, or your favorite podcast app to catch the next episode featuring New York Times best-selling graphic novelist and illustrator Eleanor Davis. You can download a free limited edition copy of the Wannabe one-page business plan and goal setting guide, so you can take your ideas from your head and make it real. Visit wannabepodcast.com and select free download. It is only available until January 25th, so I suggest you get it while it's there. And while you're on the website, please do ask us a question for our Ask Prisca segment at the end of January. This podcast is created by the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Have you been making notes from this episode, or have you checked out Leslie's work or anyone else's work since listening? Let me know by leaving a review on iTunes via your Mac or your iPhone using your iTunes podcast app. You can also hit me up and follow us on Twitter via @wannabepodcast. We're also on Instagram as well. To get extended show notes listing the tools and resources mentioned in this episode, please do visit wannabepodcast.com. And that's everything for today. Signing out. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.